brothers and sisters in Christ, friends, brother moderators, brother Bonner, again, I'm very happy to have this opportunity to speak in opposition to the speech that's just been presented. Again, I'm happy for this opportunity to present the truth. And as I said to begin with, and this is going to be the case with everything we say or do in the series of debates, it is our purpose here to teach the truth that souls might be saved. As I said to begin with, there are going to be souls lost on this issue, because when we are divided over something such as this, surely we're not both right. The Bible does not teach us in such ways as that. One of us is wrong and one of us is right. And the purpose is tonight to determine which one of us is right. And I pray that this has to be determined in one way. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the ability of the speaker. It has nothing whatsoever to do with who you like the best, who you don't like. What determines what is right and what is wrong is whether or not it's in the Lord's will. And you know, I find that this is something that Brother Bonner has avoided all the way through. And I'd like to have my charge 1A once again, because he's forgotten what we're here for. I told him I'd show him this again, and I'm going to have to, because he didn't mention this not one time. He didn't even try to do this. Now, Brother Bonner knows how to establish scriptural authority as well as I do. He's going to talk all about that. He knows how to do this. His little paper is full of scriptural authority and how to establish it, and yet he has not done a thing to establish scriptural authority when it comes to his proposition. The proposition reads, look, the scriptures teach that the local church assembled for the Lord's Supper may partake of the cup, fruit of the vine, from a plurality of drinking vessel, affirms David Bonner. He has not affirmed that. He has not given us a command where the local church came together to observe the Lord's Supper with individual cups or with a plurality of drinking vessels. He has not given us an example, not a single one, where the church ever came together for the purpose of observing the Lord's Supper and used plurality of cups. Now, he tried one idea at one point, and I'll tell you what, that's really something else, that the point that he used. I find this is his chart number A, and I want chart A up here before I get any further. I'd like you to look what he is insinuating and what he tries to put off on us. He is trying to tell you that the church at Corinth, they assembled together, everybody brought their own unleavened bread, and everybody brought their own grape juice, and then they sat there and they drank it till they got drunk, and I agree with him, that means filled, and then they sat there and ate it till they got full. Now, is that what they were talking about there? That's what he wants you to believe. And they all came, and he brought his cup, and his grape juice, and he brought his bread, and they all sat around. One of them drank all the grape juice and got drunk, and the other ate all the bread and got full. Is that what he's talking about there? Folks, that's not what's under consideration whatsoever. And he explains it in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 11. He says, when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. That's not what they were trying to do. He says, for in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper. And one is hungry, another drunk. What's he talking about? They brought the dinners. That's what he's talking about. And you know, Brother Bonner, I don't care how many cups you got on your dinner table. I'm not interested in that at all. I don't care how many dishes you eat that of. That's not what I'm concerned about. This has nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. The writer right here says it doesn't. He says it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. That's not what they were trying to do. They were having a big feast. That's what they were making this into. Surely, you don't think that they came together and sat around and eat unleavened bread and drank grape juice until everybody got full and drunk it. That's not an example. That's an example of something, all right, but it doesn't have anything to do with the Lord's Supper. He says it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. That's not an example. So we still don't have an example. An example of a congregation or a local church assembled for the Lord's Supper partaking out of a plurality of vessels, or plurality of drinking vessels. We have no necessary inference. That is, there's not even any place that hints at these or implies it. It's not there. There's no verse of scripture in the entire of the Lord's will that even gives him a shred to call an inference. It's not there, folks. It just isn't there. If it was there, you think he'd have been around all this time talking about one thing and another and going off into the negative and instead of the affirmative? Don't you think he'd have jumped right up and leg it on you? Sure he would have. But he doesn't have it. That's the reason he doesn't lay it on you. He has no command. He has no example. He has no necessary inference. He has nothing that'll prove his proposition. And I find he also mentions to it, and I'll pick up these odds and ends before we get into this any further. He pointed out the idea that my definition, something was wrong with my definition. I'd like to have his chart too. First chart he puts up here. Let me see what it is. Chart number 2. That's what we need. What cup can mean? It's up here. He finds fault with my definition. And you talk about somebody finding fault with definition. That's the whole problem with this definition. It is something which is erroneous. And its intent, as far as the scriptures are concerned, what he has up here on the board, the intent looks to me like it's to mislead. Because here's the reason I think that. He says, number four, that a cup can be rendered a drinking vessel. Now, I'm not interested. He read all these others. We're not debating these others. We're debating the cup in the Lord's Supper. I recognize, and I'll go along, that if you need suffering, lives of people, water, wrath of God, meat sacrifice, lewdness, we're not arguing about those things. What I want to know is, why did he put number four, drinking vessel, Mark 7, 4 and 8, because that's right. That's right. But all these other definitions are listed right there by it. And just like I told you would, he got up here and said, well, if you define the thing, you always define it literal. No, you don't always. There gives two or three definitions. He has a definition A, B, C, like that. You know where all these definitions are found? A. That's where they're found. Properly or literally. Now, he has other definitions. But that's not the definitions that define these words. When you define these words, you're talking about the cup. Number one, please, Sean. When you're talking about the cup, you're talking about a literal container. And I'm not going to go through them all again. I just want to point out, he said, I didn't touch on it. I didn't touch on his definition. Well, I want to touch on it just so he'll know that we did it. Here's the definition, Matthew 26, verse 27. He took the cup. What is that? Well, Robinson says a drinking vessel. Strong says a drinking vessel. Thayer says a cup, a drinking vessel. Thayer says the thing out of which one drinks. Thayer says the vessel out of which one drinks. That's what it means. He says, fruit of the vine.
Hold
it
tight. I've got to pull up here. Somebody with a black over white automobile. Named Kathy, he's got me locked in out there.
You ready to begin?
Yes, sir.
You ready to answer?
Number two. Same thing with number two. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What does that mean? A container, a drinking vessel, a cup. That's what the Bible says, and that's what it means. There's no debate about this. There's no argument. Unless a person totally rejects the scholarship of the world, he stands up here and he says, I affirm, the cup is the fruit of the vine. So what? I affirm, according to the scholars, the cup is a drinking vessel. We've got to have more than you affirm. You see, we can't just let him go by with what he thinks it is. Because we're not here to debate what he thinks. We're here to debate what the Bible says. And all Bible scholars tell us right there what the cup is. It is no problem whatsoever. He said that there was nowhere that I could read a cup of wine or a cup of grape juice. Oh, yes, I can. We got it on the board right now. Chart number two. Look at it. He says this. Is that number two, Doug? Number one up here, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Robinson. Cup of wine. There it is. Give me number three. Isn't that what it says? Number three. I got it on number three. You said you couldn't do this. No authority, no Mexican, nothing would give it to you. Well, let's look again. Look down here. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians letter, verse 25, after the same matter also took the cup, when it's up saying, this cup is the New Testament blood. What'd you say about that? Robinson, page 611, a cup of wine. There it is. Said you couldn't do it. Couldn't produce it. There it is, twice. That's what it says, isn't it? A cup of wine. A cup of grape juice. He's concerned, and let's go to the questions right now. He's concerned about the questions. And a while ago, when I read the questions, I pointed out some ideas, and I sort of abbreviated the answers, as he pointed out. But I believe the answers state what he says. Did Jesus use one cup drinking vessel to institute the Lord's Supper? He said, The Bible does not say so. I don't know. So that means he doesn't know. That's what you see. Will a congregation of Christians be condemned for using one cup, drinking vessel, distribute the fruit of the vine, the Lord's Supper? He said, if they do not teach false doctrine on it. He says, no, as long as they don't teach false doctrine on it. And then I said, my practice is not in question. My practice of using one cup on the Lord's table, filled with fruit of the vine, as we pointed out, is still not under question. What he questions is what I teach about it. And there's a difference. The practice is all right as far as he is concerned. The way you do it, that's okay. It's what I teach about it he doesn't like. I can understand that. But my practice is all right, you see. My practice is not under consideration here tonight. It's scriptural. It's all right. Bonner says so. Go to the last question. Must we observe the Lord's Supper as Jesus instituted it? He said, yes, as far as his example goes. For example, he did not institute it on the first day of the week like we are supposed to have it, Acts 27. All right, now then he says, to get this all together, did Jesus use one cup to institute the Lord's Supper? He says he doesn't know, but you have to observe it like he did. Now that's all that boils down to. You can't get anything else out of it. Now, he doesn't know how the Lord did it. He doesn't know if they had a whole bunch of vessels. He's read about different things. Give me my chart. That, and I told him to pull it out a little bit while I was gone. I want to show him how the Lord did it. Look here. What did Jesus do? He took the cup. Take with the hand. There, page 870. Cup, drinking vessel. There. Page 533. He gave the cup. Gave, reach out, extend, present. Page 145. There. Now what did Jesus do? Is that hard to understand? He commanded them to drink of or from what he took and gave. They understood and obeyed it. Mark 14, verse 23. They all drank of or out of from it. See, it's not hard to know what the Lord did. What did he do? Took a cup. Gave, extended it, handed it, gave it over to them. Is that hard to understand? But he says, I don't know what he did. He didn't know what the Lord did. The Lord gave us a commandment and told us to do this in my memory. This do, as you've seen me to do it, we don't know how he did it. That's going to be hard to obey it. This do, he said, but we don't know how. Well, you know how. Well, the Father knows how to. How do you do it? Just like the Lord told you, he did it right there. Took the cup, gave it to them. Now we can do it the same way. Now then, let's get on to the charts again. Number four, Don. This is sort of the summation of all this business we went through a while ago. And Brother Bonner's chart, what cup can mean, here's what it proves, as I pointed out. It proves he has a total disregard for the scholarship of the world. It proves he's willing to mislead you, the audience. He didn't deny that, has he? I thought he'd jump right on that. He didn't deny it. I even gave him an out. Do you remember? I told him, Brother Bonner, this is not the case. If you're not trying to do this, if this is something that I'm mistaken on, here's what you do. You give me a lexicon that will define cup. He took the cup, Matthew 26, 27, Mark 14, 23, as the fruit of the vine. Now there was his out, you see. Did he take it? No, he didn't take it. You know why he didn't take it? Because he doesn't have it. That's why. He knows, that's right. He didn't take the out, now I'll guarantee you, brethren. I'll guarantee you, if somebody accused me of something like that, and I had the out, I'd take it. And I'd wave it out there like the rag before the bull, and I'd make him answer to it. He didn't. He didn't bring this up. I want this to smooth over and go away. It's not going to go away, Brother Bond. This is something that you got to deal with. Here you've done these things, you pointed out, you make this look like that this is the only definition, which means drinking vessel.
I wouldn't let you get by with that for anything in this world. You wouldn't let me get by with it. You know that much about this business, you wouldn't let me get by with that. And I'm not going to let you get by with that.
I find out as a result of this sort of conclusion, number 5, Don, that Brother Bonner's whole case is built upon the false major premise, the cup is always the fruit of fire. Until he proves that,
he can't claim that.
Until he proves that, he cannot say that. It makes no difference if he stands up here and says, I affirm, that doesn't make a difference. Unless he can read it to us in the scriptures. Brethren, he's not done that. He affirms it, but that doesn't mean one single thing. As a result, though, of this false major premise, all of his conclusions are false.
All right, let's go a little bit further. Here's chart number 3. How much time, Paul?
13 minutes.
The cup, what is it? Drinking vessel or fruit of the vine? Matthew 26, Mark 14, 1 to 3, drink ye all of it, heck, get out of our brother the cup. Only verse, which could be taken either way. Wrong. You can't take that verse either way. And it sounds like, though, he can almost see the cup right there.
It's almost take us either way.
Now, I don't know, but you might look at this again and can see the cup there barely. But you can't take it either way. This verse of scripture, as I pointed out just a minute ago, Thayer says, what it says in Matthew 26, 27, Mark 14, verse 23, he is talking about the container.
You can't take that verse either way. This is not anything you can just dismiss, since neither one of us can use it. We'll throw it out. We're not going to do that. Those are my verses.
He said, he took the cup. Look at all these other passages that he deals with. Let's see, part number 1. He says, my chart number 7, Luke 22, 17, the cup to be divided must be fruit of the vine. What he's saying is, you can't divide the cup. What he's saying. Let's see how you do that, Don. You got to have to divide the cup. Luke 22, 17. He took the cup, gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. He gave it to them, and they all drank of and from out of it. That which Christ took was undivided. That which Christ gave thanks for was undivided. That which he gave to them was undivided. They divided it by drinking.
See how you divide the cup?
The next one he says, Luke 22, 20, this cup of the New Testament, my blood, cannot be the drinking vessel. Let me see. Look at the next chart, Don. It's chart number 8. Chart number 8. Cup can't be the drinking vessel, or the cup has to be the drinking vessel. See, let's see. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Luke 22, 20, 1 Corinthians 11, 45. Bonner says, this fruit of the vine is the New Testament in my blood. Is that what that says? Can the fruit of the vine, as Brother Bonner says, can it be both the New Testament and the blood, symbolize them or be an emblem of both at the same time? In other words, can the fruit of the vine represent both the thing purchased, the New Testament, and the purchase price, the blood? Can it be them both? This coat that I've got on tonight, what if I told you I gave $10 for this? You might believe it. But you know what? This coat is not the $10.
No, the coat's one thing, the $10 is something else.
The price is one thing, that's the blood. The purchase of the item is another, that's the New Testament. The fruit of the vine cannot symbolize both the price and the purchase thing.
Ain't do it. All right, let's look again.
Number 9.
He says up here, the cup we bless, a communion of the blood.
You don't bless drinking vessel.
Is that right?
Chart number 9. The cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless.
I didn't think he could do that.
He said, can't bless a vessel. And yet he said, the cup of blessing which we bless.
There it is right there. I'm not going to waste our time on that. I'm sure we'll have that tomorrow night. I just want to show you what he says is not true. Let's go again. Number 10.
He says here, unless ink is used in two ways, then cup refers to the fruit of the vine. They drank of ink, the fruit of the vine. Now what he's simply saying is here, that they didn't drink of the cup.
Let's see.
drink a cup out of one poured a box. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Mark 14:3. The contents, that's how, by a common everyday figure of speech, other examples. The kettle is boiling. Take it off the stove. What's the contents? Boiling. What is this going out to us? He is simply pointing out that there's an element involved here. The kettle is boiling. Again, he says my radiator's boiling. Could you repair it? What's boiling? Again, the contents. The drunkard loves his bottle. What does the drunkard love? He loves the contents. Just as we get down here, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what's that? You drink the contents. That's how you drink the cup. That's no problem whatsoever. We understand how it all works. Chart number 5, though. We find out that according to this chart, this is false at every point. And here's the reason. In his entire case is built on a false major premise. That's the wrong one. Number 5. Okay, that'll be all right. This is the reason it's all false. His major premise is all false. He is trying to say the cup is the fruit of vine. That's wrong. And as long as a person does that, he'll never get it right. Now then, let's notice again his chart number 4. Is that what we done here? No, number 4. This chart is a summation of his mistakes. And I think this is really interesting. He begins by putting out, I thought we was really going to get to it. He said, precept, example, and inference. And then he read all these verses. Did y'all hear a single one of those verses that mentioned individual cups, a plurality of cups? Not a one of them said individual or plurality. Not a one of them said more than one. They said A, the, and this. This is, as we said, this is a use of a false major premise. And as long as he does that, his deductions are going to be wrong. Number 11. He says right here, just one verse. He wants just one verse. Well, you know, that's what I've been asking for ever since we've been here. I want just one verse. Now, Brother Bonner says in Truth and Love, September 25, 1986, challenge, produce just one verse. Will the church ever donate to any human organization, social hall, kitchen, piano, etc.? Now, you know, when he talks about his institutional brethren, music brethren, those that use instrumental music, he's hard on them. He wants verse, book, chapter, and verse. He really gets down on that. You know, that's what I want. I want command, where it says, drink of the cups. He took the cups. I want an example. He gave the individual cups to them. They drank of them. I want an inference. Drink these cups of the Lord. Just one verse for the modern. A whole hour he spent, and all I want is one verse. Look here what he says. The bottom line is, unless there is Bible for something, it's wrong. Where did he get that? Brother Bonner, Truth and Love, September 25th, 1986. I agree. Unless there's book, chapter, and verse for it, it's wrong. So far, I have not heard the book, chapter, and verse for anything he's taught. He's not giving. Have y'all noticed him? He affirms the scriptures teach a plurality of drinking vessels. Just not there. You're not finding him. He used his chart number 5 a while ago, and he made a play on the idea that canteen. He talks about the canteen. Well, here's the problem, Brother Donner, with a canteen. A canteen cannot be used in the Lord's Supper because a canteen is not a drinking vessel called a cup. That's not hard, is it? You see, the Lord said he used a cup. That was a drinking vessel. As long as you've got a drinking vessel that's named cup, you can use it. That's what the Lord did. His chart, number 9. Is that over here? What's cup is wrong? Oh yeah, this is the synergism. The cup is not. The cup is fruit of the vine. That's wrong. He's not proved that. And we can't, that's as far as that goes. when you use syllogisms, here's the rule. For your conclusion to be true, your major premise and your minor premise have to be true. He has got a major premise false.
That's no good. That's wrong conclusion.
The cup is the blood of Christ. Where'd you ever read that? You can't read that in the Bible. Nowhere it says that. You don't believe it? Look up this verse he gives, Matthew 26:28. It doesn't say the cup is the blood of Christ. That's a false major premise. The rest of it's false too. What the cup is? The cup is the blood of Christ. No, it's not. Can't read that anywhere. If he could, don't think he, for a minute he'd waste his time. He'd have that up here emblazed in bold letters, and you'd know what he was. He wouldn't mess around with this kind of stuff. He'd put it right out there in front. He wouldn't have to syllogism into it. He'd just point it straight out.
I would too.
He says the cup is the fruit of the vine. That's what's wrong with all this, Brother Bonner. A wrong major premise. You drink the cup.
And I agree, you drink the cup. But you know what you have to do in order to have to drink the cup? We pointed this out a few minutes ago.
In order to have a metonymy, you have to have one gland and another. That's his definition. In order to drink the cup, you've got to have a cup and the contents. One thing and another.
That's not hard to understand.
We can drink the cup by having one thing and another.
That's
none of these are correct. The New Testament teaches one cup. What is it? Container. That's right.
That's what it is.
You see, when you're working under a false principles, you're going to wind up with the wrong answer. How much time?
2 minutes. Perfect.
I want to say one other thing.
He said that if I was going to jump up here and prove that the first time they ever used fluoride in cups,
that's not what I said.
I said individual cups. I know you can read fluoride in cups in some of these Catholic histories back a few hundred years ago. But when it comes to individual cups, I know where they came from too. And I know why they came around. They came around just like I told you a while ago, because people got so nasty nice, they didn't want to do what the Lord told them to.
Brother Bonner wants a big cup, and his place marked on the lid, because he didn't want to break out some of you, brother. That's pitiful.
And yet, that's the main objection that brethren who hold this idea, that is their main objection.
I'd like to read something to you. This is sort of break us up a little bit. Give us something to think about.
What if Sally saw the cup?
Now listen, because it's good.
Since our wonderful and infallible scientists have discovered the germ, the bacillus, the great back grandparents of all sickness, we're compelled to practice the rigid sanitary laws. For the good Lord has filled the food we eat, the water we drink, the very air we breathe with deadly infections, so that he who would live long enough to get his boots off must boil the water he drinks and thoroughly sterilize every mouth full of food he eats, and he should wear a sponge over his nose to guard against those deadly germs, for death sits enthroned with scepter in hand, and all who do not bow to his image will be cast into a den of deadly germs. Nor are the sacred vessels of the church exempt from him, for on the very brink of the cup has he established his throne. From Brother Job's lips comes dyspepsia. Brother Adam's got pneumonia. Brother Abraham contracted smallpox. And Brother Judas, he put in tuberculosis. And so on all the way around. So when the cup came to me, it looked like death in its favorite robe. Of course, I could not touch it. I passed it along to old Aunt Sally. And sure as I live, she just took a great big gulp of it. Just like she wanted to take enough to cause instant death, and just sat there real solid. Man seemed to be thinking about something else. And true as I live, she's still alive, and it's been more than a year ago. And that's not all. She does it every Lord's Day. It's a mystery to me. I think that she must have all that germ parasitic diseases is immune to it. What Aunt Sally saw, and here's the point. Well, I thought I'd seen all manner of death in it, but there was one death that I've not seen or thought of. As oft as you drink this bread and drink this cup, you to show the Lord's death till he come. What do you see when you observe the Lord's Supper? The Lord's
Supper. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. Tomorrow night, I remind everyone to be here again at 7:30. Yes. And then on Thursday and Friday night, the questions will change. We'll go to devices, teachers, and that will be up at